Good morning, good people. Happy New Year. This is Kipling Primus, and I'm your host for the local take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. This is the last Saturday before the January 5th Georgia Senate runoff, and I reached out to Maynard Eaton. Eaton is an Emmy Award-winning local journalist. He's a journalism professor and the current National Director of Communications for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the SCLC. And he's here to speak with us this morning about what voting in a runoff election means. Maynard Eaton, welcome to the Local Take.
Kipling, thank you so much for inviting me, for letting me join you on this auspicious occasion. But I got to tell you something. You're the Jazz station right now. You know, when I was teaching, Clark Atlanta was in session, teaching journalists, I'd walk by the WCLK room every day and think about Jazz. And of course, my wife was a former executive director of the New Orleans Jazz Institute. So Jazz is in our family. And also, I started the first black-owned jazz club in Miami some 50 years ago called Bacchus 2. One of the highlights was Phyllis Hyman used to sing at our club regularly. So Jazz is in my spirit and my blood.
And we miss Phyllis Hyman. Can you tell us, Maynard, how did you and your family survive the pandemic? Have you all fared pretty well?
It was, yes, pretty well. I mean, although at the outset, my wife was living, working here out of Kokomo, Indiana, or in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I was still there. And I said, wait a minute, we're going to be locked down. So I relocated here. I'm in Indianapolis and Kokomo, Indiana, those two cities. Because most of my work has been indoors. I'm still working in Atlanta, but through this computer. I mean, everything I do every day is in Atlanta, but I'm not there every day.
It's been a really interesting period of time to, you know, be able to work remote. And like you said, to be wherever you need to be, you know, no matter what.
It's certainly different. That's for sure. I mean, and most folks don't know I'm not there because I'm in and out of town at least once a month or so, but it's, you know, you do what you have to do, and to be locked down is not easy. I mean, that was an adjustment, too. I find it so ironic that, you know, I do a couple of TV shows online, and, you know, to be dressed up with a shirt and tie and a jacket and your, not underwear, but, you know, some relaxed pants underneath, and, you know, all you got to do is wear your top.
It has been an interesting time. So Georgia swung back to the blue side in this last presidential election. You know, some people are saying it was a fluke. Some people were saying this was a once-in-a-lifetime thing because of Trump, and, you know, they're given a lot of other reasons. What's your take on the flip of our state?
I wrote about this. I think the take on the flip is none other than Stacey Abrams. Her near victory as Georgia governor, and what she thought was a voter fraud, and her the reason she did not win the governorship a few years ago, she went to work. I wrote about Stacey Abrams in a 2019 Spelman Messenger edition called Spelman's Warrior Woman. And she went to war. She really did. Establishing a new Georgia project, which is now headed by Nse Ufot. And she got folks registered. It's amazing. Not only registered, but got them out to vote as well. So I attribute it largely to her efforts and others of her ilk. She put together a team that really went knocking on doors right after her defeat, or her narrow defeat, if you will. Mm-hmm. And she's not stopped. She's become a national figure based on her efforts to get black Georgians particularly, or Georgians of all stripes primarily, out to vote. Registering is one thing. Signing that paper is one thing. But getting out there to vote is another. And again, if you want to attribute it to one single thing, it's without a doubt Stacey Abrams. And I applaud her.
I applaud her and all of those grassroots organizations that have been so active on the ground. And we know that in that presidential election, it was a culturally diverse voter group. It was Asians, it was Latinos, and it was even young voters that were engaged. Do you think this enthusiasm for the vote will continue? You know, have voters learned a hard lesson about what happens when everyone doesn't vote?
I think your question answers it by itself. I think we've all learned a painful, painful lesson. But Donald Trump was not an isolated figure. I mean, he was a fluke maybe, but that fluke has become a major political power. He has his own political party now. And I do think young, old alike have seen the error of our ways in not going to the polls, what the difference it can make when we go and then when we don't go. We may have won the presidency in Georgia, but we also lost some state seats, so some congressional seats. A major race up now across the country, Democratic-held congressional seats have been lost. So Georgia's unlike many other states. We got out and voted across the board. But others haven't. I don't know if the lesson has been really learned, heartfelt yet. I think there was the Trump emphasis, but not necessarily the political emphasis on who actually makes laws. Again, for example, in the state house, that's still run by Republicans. That's where the rubber meets the road in terms of what happens in our lives in Atlanta and throughout Georgia. The presidency is nice and all that, but where laws are made are city councils, state legislatures. We might have the city council in Atlanta, but we don't have the state legislature. That's for sure.
And that's that thing about voting. You know, the presidential election gets a lot of hoopla, but it's those next in 2 years, it's that election that's going to make even a bigger difference. And, you know, have we learned that lesson? Will people come out and vote? It appears that people are going to vote. You know, large numbers of people are voting in this runoff election. But does this magic hold?
And I think it's almost correlated to the pain you feel. I think those who are suffering, and this has been a tough time for many people, no doubt about it. I mean, again, I couldn't afford to stay there, really, because of the economics of it. But I think the pain you suffer or the pain you remember come the next election day will drive you out to vote as well. Tough times mean that you're going to take tough, dramatic action to reverse the situation of you, your neighbor, and et cetera. So I think it will hold 2 years hence. I hope it continues to. And young voters will grow in grace. I mean, the ones that voted for the first time, I think they will continue to vote. My concern, though, is if they really limit absentee balloting. That's the major problem. And I think Republicans will work assiduously, aggressively, to clamp down on absentee ballots.
Do you think citizens will come together to demand the right to vote with an on-demand absentee ballot? You know, I know this was kind of a special thing because of the pandemic, but in other states, you can vote absentee on demand. Do you think that's something the community will have to, you know, get in touch with their elected officials about, that we want this as something to stay?
I hope they do. I think they will, because it's now part of our culture. We've seen how it can work. I mean, some people enjoy the ritual of standing in line on election day. I miss it myself. I really do. Something about election day. But that's old school. Young people, even older people now, rather just mail it in. And I don't see a problem with that, although they want to pick at it, matching signatures and all that kind of stuff that President Trump has gone through and others will continue to do. It's going to be under attack. But again, voters have clout now. They have strength. They have numbers. And Georgia's changing. I don't care how you clamp down on it. Georgia is about to turn blue, if not already. It's there. And again, I go back to Stacey Abrams. People thought she was loopity-loop. How are you going to turn Georgia blue? How are you going to turn this around? I asked her that question pertinent in my story about her. She said, I'm a warrior. That's how we got the name. She's a warrior woman. So I give her credit for leading the charge anyway. Now, again, maintaining that is another question. But again, I think she'll run for governor again. So she'll spearhead. You know she's going to rally the troops on her behalf.
And, you know, some of the other organizations, I remember hearing for a long time about the number of people in our state that just didn't vote. They were eligible. Right. Some were registered. But this was across the board. This was in the Black urban community, Black rural community, in our Latino community, and in the Asian American community. You know, people would get their citizenship and they would still not vote. So, you know, you hear those numbers, you know, over a million people didn't vote in, 2012 when Barack Obama was on the ballot for the second time. But they kept talking about how close the numbers that he lost by, and then you compared the numbers to the people who were eligible and didn't vote. So, you know, that's what Fair Fight and the Georgia Project really did, was to go out and educate those communities and get them more involved so that those numbers have started to shrink. So
and the issues matter, too. I think the issues kind of spawn that. I mean, hearing Trump and others, I mean, we have such a major divide between political parties. I think people realize the only way to have any voice at all is a vote, as opposed to taking it for granted that things are going to be as they are.
And, you know, that other thing is the systematic suppression in our state. You know, as much as our city and state are known for civil rights, the state of Georgia is known around the world, you know, as the voter suppression state. And there was a recent article in the New York Times, and it talked about how the actual runoff system even came to be in the state of Georgia. And it was, you know, a representative who was defeated. And when he ran 4 years later, he got in office. And he said the reason that he lost was because the Negroes were voting in a block. And the way to defeat the Negro bloc and keep the white vote from being split was to have a runoff. And so this runoff that was put in place to suppress the black vote may actually be a thing that is energizing the black vote this year. You know, they said right now our numbers are approaching the general election in a runoff.
Kipling, you're pretty savvy political yourself. but you're right that the runoff has reversed itself. It was aimed to stop us, and now may be a pathway to political success. But it's tough getting folks out the second time around. They had vested interest in it. Now I think we do as well. They see the need for this. Without some of the other people in the selection between Warnock is in now and Ossoff, they without so many people in that Senate race, Warnock would have won without a runoff. But that's not the case, and he's in one now. But let's see, and this is going to be close. This is another major test of Georgia's and Black Georgia's political will. It's going to come down to the wire on this because the whole world's watching now.
It's an amazing thing for our state to be the center of this much attention.
It really is, isn't it?
So now,
and a lot of money, too. A lot of money.
A lot of money. And they're saying it's being used, you know, to get out the vote. So in the runoff, it's whoever can get out the vote. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Now,
what do you think? Are you intrigued by what's going on from where you sit in your political?
I am exceptionally intrigued. I am surprised, you know, that our numbers are, you know, running in line with the general election. I'm surprised about the number of new voters that voted in November and that are registered to vote for this primary, where they said over 65,000 new people registered between November 3rd and December 7th. So I'm amazed. My fingers are crossed. We'll see what happens. Now, what is your voting story? Do you remember the first time that you voted? Did you go vote with your parents?
You know, it's funny. I saw your question, and I called my sister right away. I said, did I vote before I left for college? She said, no, you weren't that interested. But you sure voted once you got to Virginia. I voted in Hampton, Virginia. I went to Hampton Institute at the time, Hampton University now. And that's the first time I voted on a college campus. When I first got there, when did I get there? 68, I guess. I graduated in 68. But I was there. My first time voting was in Hampton, Virginia, where I first started working in TV.
And now, do you remember that? You remember who was on the ballot? You know, did you have a reverence for voting, or was it just something that Hampton was like, you will vote?
No, it was preached to us. There was no doubt about it. Like, I preached to my students when we were in class. There was a professor that kind of made it clear why it was important and where we should go and volunteer. Now, I wish I had memory to tell you who it was I voted for. I just don't have the clarity of memory that long ago. But I know it became a habit and I never stopped. Once I started, I can't think of an election I missed. So then that one of them comes.
It is a habit. It is something to do as a habit. And Maynard, I know that you're busy and doing a lot of things. How can we keep up with you? What's next on your schedule? Any articles or books that we should keep our eyes out?
Well, I do the SCLC National Magazine. That's one that comes out quarterly. We have an issue coming out next week. I'm on. I do a two TV shows, SCLC Today TV. It's done a weekly on the SCLC website, and I also do a show called Talk to Me on the Atlanta Video Network. But I'm out there doing as much as I can. So please stay in touch. I can't wait to be back in Atlanta watching those students walk past WCLK.
Well, we can't wait to get you back. And Maynard, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us this morning. Take care.
I appreciate it. It's been an honor, believe me. And I salute to you and the show and what you do.
Thank you. God bless. Take care.